You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles, 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17. I want to minister this morning something that's been burning me, actually, for a few weeks. I finally got around to teaching it. I don't know, you know, God deals with people differently. Me as a minister, a lot of times I'll minister on something or study something, have notes on it. I just have the greatest message, and I'll get up here, and God says, no, I don't want you to preach that today. And so I'll have to minister something else, which I always figure God knows more than I do, and it's always a lot better to flow with Him than me. Amen? Although I had a good message, and you probably needed to hear it, but you probably needed to hear what God had to say more than you needed to hear what I had to say. Amen? So sometimes I'll hold on to a message for a while before God will let me preach it. And so this is one I've had for a while, and I hope it's not a big letdown after that big buildup. But I've been meditating on this. You know, Brother Osteen, who was my pastor, John Osteen, not Joel, John Osteen, had a little mini book one time called A Place Called There. Some of y'all might have remembered it, read it years ago. And it was just an awesome message. And he started out on this passage of Scripture that I'm going to teach here about Elijah. And I want to minister on that, but I probably call it a little different. I want to title it, Are We There Yet? Everybody say there.
There.
You know, there, that's the place you want to be. You know, when you get in a car and you're going on vacation or you're going to grandmama's or, you know, you got the kids in the car, that's the question the kids always ask. Are we there yet? About the time you pull out of the driveway or a block down the road. And they're excited about there because there is where the fun is. I mean, that's the destination. That's where they want to be. When they get there, everything is going to be all right. And that's a question we ought to be asking ourselves on our spiritual journey. Are we there yet? Are we trying to get there? Do we even care about there? We should be. Amen? We should want to be there. Now, with that in mind, 1 Kings 17. First verse, Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, he was a prophet, said to Ahab, a king, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. And what happened was famine and drought came into the land because of their sin. And Elijah didn't make that happen, but Elijah knew what the word said about cursings and blessings and rain being a blessing, and that if they forsook God, that rain would be withheld and famine would come. So he's observing. He knows what the word says. And he stands up as a prophet and says, no rain's coming on this ground. Because of your lifestyle, because of the spiritual state of this country, the nation of Israel. And as a prophet, he prophesied. I think it's interesting. James refers back to this in James, the fifth chapter. You know, James 5:14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. And then the next verse, 16th verse, says, confess your faults one to another. Pray ye one to another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, who prayed that it rain not for 3.5 years, and it rained not. Then he prayed that it rained, and it rained. And so the point he was making there in James was, that we can pray for healing and believe for healing. Elijah prayed that it rained not for 3.5 years and then prayed that it rained. And he's no different than we are. And if he could do that, surely we could believe for healing. Isn't that the point? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It pays when you're serving God and you know the Lord. When you pray, you have influence with God. You have God's ear. You have a right. You have authority as a believer. Amen? So I think it's fascinating when we read about Elijah and we read about these miracles that took place, that we don't separate ourselves from him, but that we join ourselves with him and say, look, he just called on God. We can call on God too. Thank you for that one amen, that one grunt. I saw a head nod. Appreciate that. We can believe God. Amen.
Amen.
I don't want to get y'all too excited now. Goodness gracious, don't run off. So he did this. Elijah, a man subject to like passions as we are, as we're reading along here and see what Elijah did, we need to be stirred. That ought to just really, you know, ag us on, as it were, to believe God and trust God. My, don't separate yourself from these prophets or put them up on a pedestal somewhere. They trusted God. This God they trusted is our God. Not only our God, but our Father. Amen. And effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amen. So he goes on and says this, second verse, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, aren't you glad when the word of the Lord comes? I've been hearing what the world has to say. I need to hear what God has to say. I've got thoughts of my own that come from me, but I'd really rather hear what God has to say about this. And of course, that's one thing we're doing right now, is looking into the word of the Lord, not just a prophecy, not just a tongue interpretation, not just a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, which I believe in all that, and we definitely believe that. But this is the word of the Lord too. Actually, a more sure word. It's even more sure than all that, because those are all subject to this. Amen. And it says, then the word of the Lord came to me. He says, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, that just stirs me, because I know what I'm going to say next, you know. I'm excited about the message. God always has provision if you are where He wants you to be, if you're there. See, there is where God tells you to be. There is when you're doing what God's telling you to do. And if you are there, God will provide. And if some of us probably just aren't there yet. But there, spiritually speaking, the way I'm... Well, as it's, I've said it this way, track with me along metaphorical lines, if you would. Spiritually speaking, there is not a geographical place. It's a place within you. It's a place where you're in union with God. It's a place when you're in agreement with God. It's a place where you're obeying God and doing what God wants you to do. It's a position, spiritually, that you stand in. And I think, you know, many times we're just out of position. God is always where He should be. We're not. Amen. You know, if it seems like, you know, God's at a distance, guess who moved? It wasn't Him. He does not move. He does not change. He is the Lord God. He changes not, Malachi 3:6. And also, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So He'll always do what He says He will do. He is the most predictable being in the universe, and yet He made the universe. We often talk about God being unpredictable, that you never know what the Lord's going to do. No, it's you and me that are flaky. God's very predictable. God will always do what He says. Now, chew on that a while. Think about that. See, we pick up these religious cliches and they stick in our brains, but they don't make any sense. You never know what the Lord's going to do. My goodness, we know exactly what God's going to do. He's given us a whole Bible full of things that He said He would do. And He's not a man He'd lie, nor the son of man He'd repent. Amen. So when He says it, it's settled. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven and earth. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. Hallelujah. So He tells Elijah, now get this. Getting there is not God's responsibility. God's already there. Getting there is your responsibility. Amen. He told Elijah, He said, you get there. And you get there and I'll take care of you. And I really believe when we get there, God will take care of us. We may be panicky and fearful and distraught and all out of whack, but you know what? The reason we're that way is because we're just not there yet. But once we get in faith, I'm talking spiritually here, a position we are in God, an agreement with God, once we get to trusting God, once we stand on His promises and His word, start calling on His name, you know what? We're moving over there. And when we get there, the panic will leave, the fear will leave, the pain will leave, the provision will come. God has made provision at that place called there. And God's always there. The question is, are we there yet? Are we there yet? So Elijah obeyed. It's a fascinating story. Miraculous provision that He provided here, you know, for Elijah. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Sixth verse, the ravens brought him bread and meat. You got to wonder what kind of meat it is. I'm sure it tastes like chicken. So everything tastes like chicken. You seen that commercial about that guy? He's a man's man. He never says it tastes like chicken, even when it's chicken. Everybody wants to be like him, you know, but anyway. Just a thought. Thank you for going with me on that trip. So it says here, the ravens brought him bread and meat. Can you imagine the birds bringing you food every morning? Just bringing bread and bringing meat. And got to feel sorry for that guy they were stealing it from. But anyway, I mean, but hey, God brought it. We're going to take it. Amen. We're going to receive whatever the Lord gives us. Hallelujah. Impossible situation, but you know what? He was where God wanted him to be. Amen. And since he was where God wanted him to be, God provided. Because God always provides for you if you're in the right position. Always. In fact, I always look at it this way. It's kind of like a quarterback and a receiver. And it's kind of sad. I know football season's over. But hey, it's coming. It's coming again. If Jesus tarries, it's coming again. Okay. All right, guys, come on, cheer up. Stay with me here. Let's go down memory lane. Think about football for a minute here. The quarterback throws that football, and if he's a good quarterback, he's going to throw it right where it's supposed to be every single time. It doesn't mean the receiver's going to catch it. Hello? But all things being equal, you got a good receiver, you got a good quarterback. Then the quarterback throws where he's supposed to throw, the receiver's where he's supposed to be, and he receives or catches the ball, and it goes down as a complete pass. It's a stat that goes into the books, complete pass. Isn't that right? But now if the quarterback throws the ball at the right spot where he's supposed to throw it and the receiver's not where he should be, or he's like Terrell Owens every once in a while drops one. Just, I said throw that out. But anyway, amen. Or the guy drops the ball. He's either not where he's supposed to be or drops the ball. Although the quarterback threw it exactly where it's supposed to be and did his job and did it perfectly, it goes down as an incomplete pass. Isn't that true? So what happens is, he gets a bad rap because the guy out there didn't receive it. And yet he was a great quarterback. We talk about great quarterbacks and people that have great records. They had great receivers. They had a great line that kept people from knocking them down before they threw the ball. There's a lot that makes a team work. Are you with me? Everybody working together, it's a wonderful thing, and you get these wonderful stats. Let me submit this to you. I believe God gets a bad rap sometimes because God is always there. And the provision is always there, but you and I aren't always there. And so we don't get provided for, and something goes wrong, and maybe we pray it didn't happen because we didn't believe and we didn't stay in faith or whatever the case may be, and it goes down as an incomplete prayer. Hello? And who gets the rap for that? Oh, you never know what God will do. Sometimes He does, sometimes He doesn't. You never know. No, I tell you what, God is always right. God always does it right. God's always on. He's never off. God's always where He's supposed to be every single time. You know what? We're not where we're supposed to be. So it's more than just saying, you know, I just want to get blessed because I want to get blessed. No, I want people to see that God is a dependable God and a faithful God and a good God. And the way I live reflects on that. People look at me and they think of God. They think of whether He's good or not, whether He's taking care of me or not, or whether He's moving or not. Tragedy comes to us all. But we as Christians can pray and God can give us peace. And the world can see that. They can see that peace and they can see that comfort. And through that, they see God. We need to get there.
That's right.
Because if we're there, God's already there. The world will see the provision of God. Here's Elijah over supernaturally getting bread and meat from heaven. I mean, from birds, ravens that fly in and drop it off. We're talking delivered room service. Woohoo! So, 7th verse, and it happened, this is interesting, it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, oh, this is awesome. I think this is so good. Because just because God provides for you one certain way one time, He may move you in another direction later. Don't get locked in on anything. Get locked in on Him. Are you with me? God changed my direction ministry-wise over years, several years. He changed me, from goodness, from doing more outreaches and evangelistic type work and preaching in prisons and open door missions and Salvation Armies and doing those kind of, he moved me into teaching, and I began to teach and teach and teach and travel around teaching. Then I went into missions and did mission work and teaching. Went over, you know, to Guatemala, Mexico, India at a very young age, and then he called me to pastor. Well, what happened was everything else started to dry up because God was pulling me over here and moved me in that direction. Now, I'm not talking about multiple marriages here. Stay with me. Okay. I want to cover my bases. Okay. If your wife or husband, you look at them right now and say, we are stuck. Okay. Because that's it. You work this out. You can have a great marriage and don't look for another one. That's not what we're saying. I'm just talking about ministry. Ministry-wise. And God will do that. And in this time, you need to follow the cloud, follow the fire. You know, the Old Testament, when they wandered in the wilderness, when the cloud by day and the fire by night moved, they'd move. They move with it. Most of the time, we just don't move with God. God's moving. We're just not moving with Him. We're not there. We're not where we should be. So in this case, no problem. God had another way, because God's got a million ways. Meeting our need. Amen. Ninth verse, he said, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Everybody say there.
There.
See, there's that place again. Where, you know, if you took it, just these passages, and we didn't go anywhere else, which we are going to go some other scriptures. Where is there? There is where God wants you to be. There is where God tells you to go. There is what God tells you to do. And if you're doing what God's telling you to do, and you're where God wants you to be, that's there. That's there. And there is where the fun is. There is where the provision is. There is where the peace is. You know, I don't say it arrogantly at all, because I'm not perfect. Goodness gracious. There's no stars in this show except Jesus. And none of us are any better than anybody else. But for me, I know I'm there, ministry-wise. I may not be there in some other areas emotionally from time to time. I have to get there. But boy, ministry, I am there. Will's Point is my there. It really is. International Outreach Church is my there. I still travel and do different things. Boy, when I get back to Will's Point, I have got there. This is there for me. Doesn't make a lot of sense unless you heard the whole message, but this is there. In other words, our key is our year. Did I say that right, Mari? Aki is Ayer. Something like that. Yeah. 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 No, it's Ayer. You didn't catch it. Because this is there. Now, I lost Mari, but anyway. This is there. And in Spanish, you would say Aki is Ayer. Now, you got it now? Are we still there? Okay, good. Got it. Okay. So I want to make sure my Spanish was necesito practicar mi español. I know. But the ninth verse says, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Oh, my gosh, we've gone from ravens to widows. And I think we'd think, Lord, you're sending me to a widow who probably doesn't have anything, and you're going to provide me through her? Now, just think about it for a minute. You just got through eating from ravens were feeding you for a while. That's why we should never question God. Wherever He tells us to go, that's where we need to be. Or there is where we need to be. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Notice how he said there. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there, gathering sticks. Listen to this. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. See, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now you would think, well, God's messed up here. He sent Elijah to this place, and this woman's got one meal left. And she's going to eat it and die. It's amazing how God uses places and people to bless others. And in blessing others, they bless themselves. It's always amazing to me that when God moves on me to do something that I don't feel like I can do or seem like I can do, but He said do it, and I just go ahead and do it. I don't just bless those people. I wind up getting blessed myself. So, 12th verse, she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Don't let fear come in. I know you've been watching CNN and Fox News and all. Don't let fear come in. I know you've been hearing about the bailout package and the spend-a-thon that's going on. Don't let fear. You've been hearing about those layoffs. You've been hearing about the economy. You've been, hey, whoa, wait a minute. If that's bothering you, I can tell you this right now. You're not there yet. And that's what you've got to be asking yourself. Are we there yet? Because if that's bothering us, we're not there. But fear not. That's the first way to get to there, is to get in faith. Amen?
Amen.
He says, fear not. Do not fear, 13th verse. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel. Aren't you glad for the word of the Lord?
Yes.
The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. A miracle of God. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar oil run dry. Jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. God can make little into much. He can make less more. If you're there, everything multiplies. Everything goes further or farther. Goes a long ways. Amen. If you are there, you're not subject to natural laws. Once you get there, you're open up to the supernatural of heaven. Amen.
Yeah.
And there is a place that you need to get to. Nobody can help you get there. Oh, they may pray with you and they may believe with you, but you're going to have. This is a trip you've got to make by your. You remember that song? I know a place. I'll take you there. Ain't nobody crying. You remember that song? Okay. I'm not going to sing the song because I'll start doing all this stuff. And that's anyway. Stay with me. That place, I'll take you there. Nobody can take you there. This is a trip you've got to make yourself. You've got to make this trip yourself. You're going to have to get in faith yourself. You're going to have to get over there where God tells you to get. And that, where that place is a place of faith. It's a place of trust. It's a place of service. It's a place of obedience. But there is where the provision is. There is where the peace is. There is where the fun starts. And that's the question. Are we there? Are we there yet? Turn to Psalms 133. Is this helping you?
Yes.
I think about those little kids, you know, getting all excited. And, are we there? Are we there? Are we there? Are we there? You know, Jesus said, except you come as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I love that. And I think in one sense, of course, just for the sake of the message here, I think we need to keep that childlike excitement, that childlike anticipation. I want to get there. I want to get there. I want to get there. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And we keep asking ourselves that question. It's on our brain all the time. We're thinking about it constantly. See, we tend to, as we get older, get a little complacent, get settled, and we don't think about getting in the will of God, getting in position to be used by God, getting in obedience to God. I mean, we're okay. We're not sinful. We're doing all right, but we're not excited about there. We don't need to lose the wonder, amen, of getting there. It is amazing how God provides. It is wonderful to see how God does things. I get excited about testimonies and how God did things supernaturally, and because someone was where they should be. And, and when I'm where I should be, God does miraculous things. It's just awesome just bragging on Jesus.
Yes.
Not just the thing that he did, not just getting my needs met, but bragging on how he did it.
Yeah.
You know, we got bragging rights about our building and Hallelujah night and all kinds of things. Because we got where God wanted us to be. We started doing what God wanted us to do. We started supporting missions. I'll tell you, that was a breakthrough in our church. That was there for us. There for us was putting more interest, passion, and finances and effort into missions. Years ago, we got aggressive with our missions. And we started doing that. I mean, provision started coming. It started coming. Ron and Mo and elders here in the church and remember that 1995, I think, is when it was. We got together and we met and we talked about this. And we just, I mean, the Holy Ghost just moved in that meeting. It was just awesome. and we started getting real aggressive with our missions. I think that year, goodness, we jumped up there and we gave, I think, $8,000 to missions that year. Whoo! Well, if you knew where we were then, that was a lot of money. And then it just kind of, next year was 20. Then it went from 20 to $32,000 to missions. Glory to God. Hallelujah. $32,000. Then it was $58,000 the next year. Now, for the last 10 years, we've given over $100,000 every year.
Amen.
To missions. We've given over $1 million in missions in the last 10 years. And we paid cash on everything we built out here. We've got 45 acres. We paid cash. I was pacing the concrete out here. And you know the story. Many of you know the story. Many of you may not if you've been coming here recently. But I used to pace the concrete. We'd pour just a section at a time because we just paid cash. And the first driveway was $9,000. Oh, that's be like 20 now, I bet. Glenn wouldn't. Probably be, no telling what it'd be now. But that long driveway back then, of course, concrete was like $43 a yard or something. I don't know what it was. $100 a yard now or over $100 a yard? Goodness gracious. Wow. Okay, let me get off that. But anyway, we poured that driveway, $9,000. Then we poured like a $12,000 section. We were just poured in sections. And then when we started getting right, we started having Glenn do it. That's when it started doing right then. Seriously, I mean, boy, nobody pours concrete like Glenn. But anyway, we do it section by section, and I would just pace. I'd pace the boundary lines, you know, and call that concrete in, call that concrete in. I do a lot of praying outside. And walking the gym, walking the areas, and calling land in, and over the years, we've done that here in the church constantly. But I've done a lot of praying out there, just walking and praying and calling it in, praying in tongues. I pray in tongues a lot. A lot of revelation I get from praying in the Holy Ghost. And one day I was pacing that concrete, and we'd poured a couple of sections, and I heard the voice of God inside of me, just almost plain as day. And all He said was just real simple to me. It wasn't just a great word. It wasn't just, you know, heaven didn't split and thunder didn't come down. But in my spirit, it just really broke me. I mean, I was just praying in tongues and calling concrete in. God said, "Son, you can have all the concrete you want, as long as you keep supporting missions like you're doing." And that's all He said. And it just broke me. And I thought, well, that's the heart of God. The heart of God is to support missions, to help people. And if we'll put others first, God will put us first. If we'll take care of the others, He'll take care of us. We've never taken a special offering for concrete. We've never taken a special offering for a building. We've built the warehouse. We've bought 43 acres to add to the three. We had 45 acres here. Never took a special offering. Somebody paid for that land the day we were sealing the deal. We had electricians show up, trucks show up, started wiring our building. We didn't even hire them. Those things don't just happen. I mean, that comes from trusting God and believing God and being there. I don't want to ever get away from there. I want to stay there. Are you with me? I want to keep asking myself, am I there? Am I there? Are we there as a church? Are we there where we're supposed to be? Are we helping people? Are we putting others first? Are we reaching out and obeying God? Are we worshiping God? Are we in love with Jesus? See, if we'll get there, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. You get in position, the power will come. The blessing will flow. Okay. Psalms 133. Still with me? Psalms 133. Hallelujah. First verse. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." That's something you've got to have in a church. Can't have strife. Can't have mixed vision. You can't have people with all kinds of agendas and people in the church trying to make the church something the pastor's not trying to make it. You know, in every church, you know, I know that we're all at different levels and have different ideals, but, you know, the church has got to be in unity. It has to be in unity because that's where the blessing is. We may have disagreements about things, but that's okay. Goodness gracious. I get tickled at people just argue about everything. They argue, you know, they argue about the Baptists, they argue about the Catholics, they argue about the Church of Christ. You know, if they call on Jesus, stay with me. This will ruffle your religious feathers, but that's all right. Let them get ruffled. You know, how's that fur if it rubs the cat the wrong way? Let the cat turn around. if they call on Jesus, really, they're none of my business. Pray for them. Thank God. If they were washed in the blood, if they really truly are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am for them. And you know what? I'll do everything I can to work with them as best I can. I realize I can't work totally with everybody in every church, but I realize there are times that we can come together and can do some things together. I know they don't speak in tongues. I understand that. Some don't believe in healing. You know, I understand that. But I tell you what, if they are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am for them. I may not be able to run with them, you know, because we've got a mission here. We've got a race here we're running. We're International Outreach Church. We're doing what we believe God's telling us to do. Then you go from that, then you go into Pentecost, and you go, oh, wow, we're Holy Ghost. Well, we are Holy Ghost, but we're not exactly like every Holy Ghost church. Oh, and then we want to argue about that. I think we're too Holy Ghost. I think we're not Holy Ghost enough. Hello. This porridge is too hot. This porridge is too cold. Come on, Goldilocks, get over it. Pray with us. Pray for us. Let's get in unity where we can, and let's flow with this thing. Woo! Get quiet in this Presbyterian church. God bless Presbyterian. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. See, unity is like a unit. We're together, see? That's where there is for a group. There for a group, there for a church is unity. Unity is there. We are always going to have differences. Are you kidding? I don't even agree with myself all the time. Most of the time I do. Usually when I think I'm wrong, I find out I'm right, but that's okay. But we ought to strive for unity because that's going to bring the blessing. That's going to bring the provision that's there. See, now you're learning. See, you learn that this is there and that is there and here is there. Okay. There is wherever you are. If you're in the will of God. You know, there's a great scripture in the New Living Translation, Matthew 8:8, where the centurion came to Jesus and said, speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. He said, I'm man under authority, and I say to this servant, go, and he goes, this come, and he comes. You speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. 8th verse, 8th chapter, Matthew. New Living Translation, it says this about, to Jesus, the centurion says, speak a word from where you are, and my servant shall be healed. Wow. You say, well, how do I get there? Well, speak a word from where you are. Yeah, but I'm over here. Well, from wherever you are, you speak a word from where you are. And you'll get there. You go from here to there just like that. Just like that. If you'll speak a word from where you are. Because getting there is not a geographical place. Getting there, is you can't get in a car and go. You can't get a plane and fly over there. Nobody can get you there. Only you can get you there. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11 says, Say not who shall send who shall. Y'all go read it. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. The commandment is not hard. Neither should you say, who shall go over the mountain and get it for me, across the sea to get it for me. But the word is nigh thee in your heart and in your mouth. In other words, no one else can go get it for you. It's something you're going to have to say and you're going to have to do. Romans picks up on that. Romans 10. Paul says this by the Holy Ghost, the 8th verse. He says, what saith that the word is nigh thee in thy heart and in thy mouth? That is the word of faith which we preach. You back up a little further. He says, who shall ascend up into heaven? Say not, who shall ascend up into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from beneath. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. You're waiting on God. He's waiting on you. Somebody go get this for me. No, you do it. Jesus, why don't you come to it? No, you do it. The word is nigh you in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Good. Delivered, healed, set free, whatever the case may be. Hallelujah. There is up to you. There is a trip you can take by yourself. There is your responsibility. Here's the route. Here's the pattern. Okay? Okay, guys, come on. We're in here. Here's the chart. We're making our plays. We're playing football. Here's the route. God's the quarterback. He's got the ball. He's got the blessing. He's got the power. Got the peace. You get over here and you get there. And then you receive. Open up and receive it. Amen?
Amen?
And you will turn your adversity into advantage. You'll turn your trial into triumph, and you'll turn your pain into power. Hallelujah. When you get there. Amen? Excuse me for preaching, but I just got a little excited there. So it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head. That's the anointing. Running down on the beard of Aaron. Running down on the... It comes from heaven. See? Running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon that speaks of freshness in your life. His mercies are new every morning, the Bible says. So we've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We've got the freshness that comes from God. The new mercies every morning from God. New start, new day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I know a place. I can't take you there. But you can get there. It says, it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. There. Are you there yet? Well, I got this going on. Well, I can tell you right now, you're just not there. You can get there, but you're not there yet. You know how many times you talk to people and you talk to them about forgiving someone. Maybe they had a hurt or tragedy in their life and you're trying to minister to them. You know, and you walk away. You know, you tell them everything. You'd like to take them on the trip. You'd like to put them in the car, but it doesn't work that way. And you walk away and you go, man, if they just forgive. But you know what? They're just not there yet. We even use that term. See? They're just not there yet. And a lot of times, I'm working on something, but I'm just not there yet. But it's my responsibility. No one else can take me there. I'm the one that's going to have to get there. God will help me get there. No question. His arms are extended. He's waiting. If I make one step, he'll make two. You may be down today. You know the song. But help is on the way. Dark clouds may dim your sky. But he'll answer you by and by. You make one step. He'll make two. It is amazing what the Lord will do. You know, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. You know the song, don't you? I can't run through a troop. Leap over a wall. They go together, those songs do. Okay, so that went over real big. And okay, I'm not there yet, all right? I would love to sing, but I'm just not there. I try, but it's not there for me. Well, let me close out with this. God, if you get where you're supposed to be, God commands the blessing. He didn't just say, I'll bless you. He says, I command the blessing. I command it. You get in unity with God. You get in unity as a church. You get there. You get there. I'm going there. How about you? I'm getting there. I am excited about there. I'm going to get there. Hallelujah. And when we all get there, hallelujah. God commands the blessing and life forevermore. Every time we've gotten there, the blessing has come. I've been a lot of places that weren't there. Even in church, we've done a lot of things that just wasn't there for us. The blessing wasn't there. So we got back on track and did something else. But when we got to where we're supposed to be, the blessing was always there. The ravens always showed up. Amen. The oil always lasted and the meals always lasted. It always worked when I was there. And if it wasn't working, I just realized it wasn't there yet. We need to find there and we need to get there. And it's not a geographical, physical place. It is a point of obedience. It's a point of agreement. It's a point of trust. Search your heart. Look at your life. Where is it that you need to get straight, get right, repent, get right with the Lord, get in faith, because you're going to be miserable till you get there.
Amen.